Tonight, AV Club senior editor John Tatey rides sidecar for the evening. We'll catch up with comedian Vince Maranto and discuss the pension problem with Matthew Dieterich. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
That sounds like a fun, informative show where anything could happen, where you could, you know, rue the day that you voted for any politician ever.
You'll learn stuff.
Yes, and you'll laugh a little with
right.
Vince.
And I'm sure John will teach us at least one vocabulary word.
Oh, my. Every week. Piratical.
How many times have you said piratical in the last week? I've said it four.
None times.
I've used it in four different situations.
No, I mostly put it on my social media posts. And then Rob, Jill, have you used piratical?
No, it sounds, can't say I ever heard of it, no.
I haven't used piratical, but I'm hearing redacted a lot these days, especially in doing what I do.
Yeah, what's
redacted? It's been redacted.
Is anything on the AV Club ever redacted, John Tatey?
Nasty comments sometimes.
Oh, ooh. Do you have a filter for a particular, like genre of hatred?
Oh, you should see the list of word filters that we have. People are very creative.
Okay.
Well, I can't say any of them on the radio.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, off the air then. Yeah. And then I'll tell people how nasty
I'll show you
it was.
The list. It has all these asterisks on it for like wild cards. You can't pluralize it and get by. Oh, it's crazy. But yeah, we have to redact a comment or two from time to time.
Is
but most
ever...
of our commenters are very nice.
What's the AV Club? Why are people so up in arms about music and comedy and movies and television?
Here's my theory
football?
About internet commenting is people get involved in these communities, these websites that are about things that they care about very
yes.
much, right? And they have these comment threads, but the writer's up at the top, and the writer maybe has a bigger font size or, you know, certainly is more prominent, you know. So I think that people get nasty on the internet because they think they have to shout to be heard.
Okay.
So I really try to engage with people and show them that, like, hey, I'm a human being and I'm listening. I'm on the other end of
right.
this line here. And it's pretty effective. It's not 100% effective, but it helps to let people know, like, hey, you're being heard. You don't have to scream at me.
Well, yeah. Yes, Jill.
I think no matter what they're talking about, what they're yelling about, or what they appear to be angry about, it's just something for them to vent frustration, and it probably has absolutely nothing to do with what they're venting about. Because everyone can be heard now. There wasn't a time when that can happen.
Yeah. Well, can I just tell a little story off of that? Because you're absolutely right, Jill. We'll sometimes have to, like, we'll have a longtime commenter who's kind of flying off the handle. And instead of, you know, deleting or banning that person or whatever, we'll send them an email and we'll say, hey, you're antagonizing people or whatever it is. And we'll say, just settle down a little bit. Mm-hmm. We like having you part of the community, but mm-hmm. settle down. So often, Jill, they will write back and say, like, you know what? You're right. I was just having a rough time. I've had a bad week. Somebody died or somebody's sick. You know, we get these stories from people. So you're absolutely right that sometimes, again, you know, it helps to just sort of reach out and listen a little bit.
And sometimes they need some place to put things. That happened with an exchange and email with this show as well. But then I got a letter yesterday. I showed Rob Martier part of it that someone was angry that I'm going to Springfield, but that I haven't been going for the last 10 years. And, you know.
Oh, wow. You got to time travel now,
No, like it's all where were you, and you know your anger is misplaced, and I'm not, again, this is not necessarily directed at any one party, even though one party does seem to want to hold the line, and perhaps they have to, and yeah, in fact they do. Somebody has to step up and go, we've made a lot of mistakes, now what are we going to do? But it seems to be at the expense of the most vulnerable, which is one of the things that we'll talk about a little bit later. But I mean, why be angry at me? Where have you been? Where has this person been to go and make phone calls and go to their legislator's office?
Well, plus, I mean,
go to Springfield. Get on
Amtrak. Not that this needs to be the case for someone to participate, but you have had direct experience with this issue for the last 10 years
as
it happens.
And the reason, and I'll tell you the exact reason, and we'll talk about this again later, is that I suspect the reason they go after the most vulnerable is because we're the least likely to speak up. We already have, we're already living in a state of emergency. We aren't as able to rally our resources and people because
we don't have as many resources, period.
Right. So that's why. That's all. I don't know.
Okay, good.
That's it. Well,
all right,
you know,
ask and answer. When you showed me that letter and you made a very valid point, I said, look, we can't afford, we meaning the community that you represent, we can't afford lobbyists.
No.
We need to devote our resources to our children and those we're taking care of.
Right. That's what I, and that, and by the way, that's what I've been doing for the last 10
right.
years. And
yeah.
now I'm in a position where my husband is able to stay home with the boys. I have a full-time job that I can actually do from the road. That was never the case. Mm. So if you want to know where was I was raising my children and I had other jobs and didn't have this opportunity. So yeah, I am taking this opportunity. And by the way, not just to speak for my community, for everyone to be aware that you can be involved, that you can make phone calls, that you can email, that you can make a difference. I'm actually trying to at least, you know, show that it's possible.
Well, it's true. And you, like, it's been fun to watch you come back from Springfield, and you're often tired. I can tell you've been working really hard, but you're also thrilled, and you're telling me, like, hey, I met with this senator, and
yes.
I talked to this group, and, like, you seem thrilled by the fact that you could get involved so directly and
everybody
so easily.
Everybody can. Yeah. And even if it's just an email, you'll get an email back mm-hmm. saying, thank you for your thoughts. This is what we think or whatever. Your legislators want to talk. I have no idea what that's like. More after this on 720 WGN. Not now, Craig.
Wait, what's that?
Not now, Craig.
We could talk about Game of Thrones now?
Not now.
Is it now?
Not now.
Okay.
Not now. Actually, this
next
is not,
segment, maybe?
We'll see.
Okay.
Okay, down. Maybe would that be a good soundtrack for going after Tom Brady and Deflategate?
I thought that's what Craig was doing. I thought we were preparing for battle.
Are we on a horse with a sword? We're gonna go after you. Are you even wearing your? Are you wearing your Patriots hoodie because of Deflategate?
Yes.
Okay. Deflategate happened, and I thought of John Tatey.
Oh, so did I.
And then when he walked in today, I had forgotten in whatever time that was from yesterday to today mm-hmm. that we get to talk about this.
Yes, we do.
Oh my God!
But I love now. If you haven't had a chance, go to avclub.com. Because he writes, he takes complete umbrage with the entire situation.
Complete.
You don't even have to teach me umbrage. That one, umbrage is all the way through your piece on the AV Club.
Oh, it is.
Yes, because what did the Vikings do? They warmed their balls. They had warm balls. Would you say they were toasty balls?
I hope they were. They went to all that effort to warm them up in a game last October.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was October. And it's the Vikings and the Panthers, mm-hmm. and it was a very cold day.
Yes.
So someone had the novel idea to put the balls in front of the sideline heaters mm-hmm. and heat them up.
Right.
But that's against the rules, in fact.
And the heating of a cold ball will make it more enjoyable to throw?
It will make it easier to grip. It will raise the PSI, the vaunted PSI, mm-hmm. In the ball, because it's increasing the temperature will increase the pressure.
Is it difficult to keep the balls warm?
Mm-hmm. I would think it would be, because... Yeah.
I would think that the whole game, you couldn't keep the balls warm the entire time.
No. Well, it's difficult, but, you know, again, Craig, I don't want to underestimate the importance of keeping the proper pressure on the balls and in. The balls.
Yes.
It's a very complex process.
And the
here.
Balance
yeah.
has to be struck
yes.
with the pressure inside and outside the balls.
That's right. That's okay. right. So it's you don't overwarm the balls. That's against the rules. And the Patriots are accused of one of their staffers going into the bathroom and sticking a needle in the balls.
Mm-hmm.
And you can imagine what pain this has caused the nation.
Yeah, absolute pain
yes.
and distress.
Yes.
And then, okay, so what happened in California? There were sticky towels?
Okay, so last year we had this game.
Which sounds
warming
like college,
the balls.
But go ahead. Yes.
Against the rules. And then in 2012 with the San Diego Chargers, they were found, they had these towels with sticky substance on them.
Which could be,
let's not get into what it could be.
No, we don't want
it
to.
It could be.
But what would be the benefit of having sticky towels?
You could apply the sticky substance to the ball, again, to improve the grip, or to the hands of a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, they like to have that stick 'em on there to bring it in.
Okay.
Anyway.
Right, especially if you have a fingertip, you know, you got a little bit extra grip on the ball.
Exactly.
It's easier
exactly.
to bring it in and hold on to it.
That's right.
Okay, gotcha.
So the Chargers were fined for trying to hide their sticky towels.
But not for the sticky towels.
Not for the sticky towels, for trying to hide the sticky towels. And they otherwise the NFL just said, hey, knock that off.
Mm-hmm.
The Vikings and the Panthers, for violating the same rule, by the way, that's at issue in Deflategate, the NFL just told them to knock it off. There was no fine or anything like that.
Well, I mean, okay, so what it seems to me is more the direct They're saying that there was somebody that went in with a needle and directly deflated the balls in the Patriot situation, whereas with the Vikings, they even say, oh, no, we just happened to leave it in front
well,
of the bench so warmer.
Well, no, both teams had them in front of the meters.
I mean, they didn't have a sign in front of it that goes, put the ball here so it can be warmer.
Well, let's discuss the Tom Brady involvement in all this, though, because Tom seems to be more knowledgeable than he represented. And I don't know if that's what he was punished for, initially lying.
Was for noticing that they felt squishy balls?
No. So he actually texted quite a bit with the people that are accused of deflating the balls immediately after this happened.
Can I just for one second? I can't describe to you, and you would not even be able to see this on WGNRadio.com, the very slight just movement in John Tatey's eyebrows, like just like, I mean, because it's starting in his neck, like the muscle, like that.
I'm not even aware of it.
There were texts between Brady.
There were quite a few texts, phone calls, et cetera, between two people, Tom Brady and then one of the staff for the New England Patriots, who didn't really speak at all via text or phone call till after this went down. And then they talked a whole lot.
What were the conversations like in
those
texts?
We don't know all the conversations. A lot of the texts said, call me back. Is everything okay? Call me. That kind of stuff.
Maybe they had.
This is perfect. I'm so glad you brought this
maybe
up.
Maybe they're in the middle of a. Maybe he's got trouble in a relationship, girl trouble. You know, maybe he's trying to get some advice from Tom Brady. I mean, obviously, he's doing very well in his relationship with this incredible
supermodel.
I've
got a theory for you, Patty.
Yes.
I've got a theory. So let's say that this huge scandal breaks in the news, and everybody's going crazy over the air in the footballs. And you hear about it on the radio. Somebody asks you about it on the radio, and they're like, what about this with the deflated footballs, Tom? And Tom Brady's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Who do you think he's going to try to get in touch with? I don't know. Maybe the equipment manager who's in charge of the footballs and find out what the heck is going on. Of course there's going to be increased texting.
I thought the equipment person was trying to contact Brady.
No, it was back and forth, and some of the phone calls were 2-3 hours at a time. And when asked by the NFL—
They were on the phone for 2 or 3 hours?
Yeah, when asked by the NFL what they were discussing for that long, it was inflating the footballs for the Super Bowl.
Is there anyone in your life that you talk to for 2 or 3 hours where it's anything but no? It was what we were saying.
Not 7 or 8 times within the course of a couple weeks.
2 or 3 hours, John. That's just, I mean.
Seems bad, John Tatey. Seems bad.
It's a lot of ball talk.
It's a lot of ball talk.
It's a lot of time. Maybe he
just put the phone down. He put the phone down. He forgot.
7 or 8 times. And then picked it up occasionally and said, uh-huh.
He's a busy guy. He's got his Uggs to deal with. He's got kids. He's got Giselle. Bunchen.
Can I say this about those phone calls? I would really like to hear him.
I don't know that that's
I wish
possible.
I could. No, so, it's not possible. But
hey, Timmy, I've got these balls. I need deflated.
I don't know, Mr. Brady.
I really now.
Wow, we have audio of the call.
We have transcripts and everything.
Timmy, I'll tell you what. You can come up to the quarterback lounge later, and we can hang out together.
Gee, you mean it?
I'll let you take a sip of my beer.
Can we hold on to these till after a news break? We got to play more of these.
I think we have to. more ball talk with Jimmy and Timmy. I don't know what just happened, but it was a little weird. Not now, Craig.
What was it now?
Not yet.
It's time to talk about Game of Thrones.
Is it not time to talk?
Okay. It is not time to talk about Game of Thrones. No.
All right. Robert Baratheon.
Who's Robert Baratheon? No.
He's dead. I don't even want to know.
He's very dead.
Oh, so very dead. Sorry.
You were saying goodnight to Jill.
I was saying goodnight to Jill, but Jill's not done yet, but she's cleaning up her workspace for the midnight traffic reporter, and I miss her when she leaves, but I always look forward to the next reporter. I took a burlesque class this weekend with my mother, and
what?
A mother-daughter burlesque class. Okay,
really?
At Studio L'Amour. I really did.
You did not warn me this was going to be the topic of conversation.
It's not. Give me a little bit of room.
Okay,
give me a little bit of room.
Sorry,
the whole thing is about sort of a little bit about presenting, right? So it's a little bit about your body and a little bit of shimmy and how to stand and things like that. And I could not remember what we were going to talk about in this segment. And you so elegantly just flipped up your like Apple Watch. And it's so reminded me of my burlesque class. Like, look at this. It was a big reveal. Like you needed like music to that. You needed maybe a satin glove to show it off.
I needed big doors parting to reveal me doing that.
Maybe a disco ball.
Yes.
I'm sure that you would actually have a disco ball emanate from the watch itself.
Oh, yeah, somebody should invent that app if they haven't already.
So you have an Apple Watch.
I got an Apple Watch.
You are our second guest, by the way. But we forgot about our very good friend Daphne
Scott.
We
talked about it for like 15 seconds,
off the air, I think. Yeah, not Daphne. Even out. Yeah, she had a silver one. You have a, also have a, hers is like a chain. No, it's white. Look at this.
Yeah, I got the white band.
You're very confident in your ability to keep that clean.
But it's, I think dirt doesn't even stay on it.
I think
Apple just invented the perfect material for the band, as
you
they
seem
do.
You seem very happy with your Apple Watch.
Well, I'm a bit of an Apple nerd, okay. Not a bit of one. And I was very excited to get the watch, and I'm pretty happy with it so far.
The commercials they have are both beautiful and incredibly creepy. Have you seen the commercials?
Yeah, I can see why you would say. I mean, I just find them beautiful, but I can see how someone who's not in the bubble would find them creepy. Sort of futuristic creepy.
The
right?
fact that there is a bubble makes it creepy, my friend.
Yes, exactly.
The bubble is, I'm like, I don't know what's inside that bubble, but you all can stay in there and breathe your own air with each other.
Warmth and happiness are inside the bubble.
Yes. If Apple provides the air, I know it's going to be awesome.
It's being pumped
in.
Yeah,
it's going to be so well designed, and it's going to be a little buggy, but all right.
It'll be okay. John, so did you try any other smartwatches before jumping on board with Apple Watch?
No.
Okay. I've heard that answer from literally everyone I know that has an Apple Watch. They had no interest in wearables until Apple put one out.
No, because they're all, not as good, I'll put it that way. Mm. They're all crap. That is what they are.
You don't even know that. You haven't tried that because they're not in the bubble.
Well, there's one that I think makes a decent proposition, which is the Pebble smartwatch, and it's a very limited function smartwatch, but the battery lasts like for weeks,
okay.
Which the Apple Watch battery does not, nor does any other smartwatch battery. It usually lasts between a day and 2 days. I've gotten about 2 days out of this, out of the Apple Watch.
Mm-hmm. And how is it? So you're like so excited, it seems, about your new
watch. I'm delighted by it.
Yes. So what kind of things have you synced so far? What are you using it more for? The texting for you said you've been exercising. Are you using it for does it measure your heart rate as well?
It measures your heart rate. Yeah. You got to tell it when you're doing a workout, so it measures your heart rate more closely.
And does it cheer you on? Go, John!
I'll tell you what it does is it has this activity tracker even when you're not working out. So, like if I've been sitting down for too long, a little message will pop up and it'll say, "John, time to stand up and move around a little bit."
It's a little bossy.
It's a little overlordy. From the 815, I'm voice texting you off my Apple Watch right now. Love this baby.
Wow.
Oh.
That's that may be the first Apple Watch voice text to WGN, right? It must be.
I guess so. We haven't, if you have done it before and we didn't know about that, we apologize. And since you didn't give us a timestamp and alert us to it, we cannot validate it. This will be this is officially the first one.
Jeez. We cannot validate this at all.
No.
Completely invalid.
That was officially the first one.
Oh, I feel so sorry for this person.
I know.
Where is the 815?
It can be out in the it's far suburbs. It's like used to be rural. Now it's suburban. Yes, I would say Joliet.
Okay.
I'm so happy I said that correctly. By the way, Joliet would be in the 815.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do people know? Because you say, as you know, I haven't lived here that long. You always say the area code that it's from, which I love. It's just this old time broadcasting thing to me. You know what I mean? Like, it's sort of a classic broadcasting thing to give the area code of where someone's calling from. But I never know what the place is.
So the 815 would be kind of if you had layers to around Chicago, 815 is sort of the farthest most.
It's the suburban area. There's a couple of areas.
The reason
we give out area codes is if people don't sign their texts, we would prefer a signature to the area code, but we'll give it out so people can connect.
Yeah, we prefer
at least
your name.
Partially with where the person is locally.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. I kind of like when you read the area code, but I guess people should give their
names. Why, thank you.
Yeah. There you go.
I like doing it too.
So 815-630 would probably be the next layer of suburbs. Would be 630. The 847 is next. And then the 708 would be the closest suburbs.
I kind of need a chart if you're going to do all this.
And then
a map.
312-773. And now the addition of 224 are all Chicago.
The 224, the interloper.
Well, I think that those are a lot of cell phones. I notice that people who like, and I notice people who live in other cities but want to look like they have a Chicago-based phone number. We'll use a 224.
Boy, that's sad. Come on. That's pretty pathetic.
Dr. Charles Turk would be one of the people that I noticed. He was living in Boston and had I was like, 224, really? He's like, well, yeah.
Dr. Charles also enjoyed the area codes last Friday, and he then listed all of his area codes, and there were quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He listed his area codes. Wow, that sounds like compelling radio.
It was. John Tatey, where are you calling us from tonight?
I believe you're a 773, aren't you?
I'm 646.
Oh, because you kept your number from...
I kept my New York number, yeah.
Oh, see, then that just throws us off completely.
Well, I mean, I'll move my body here, but I'm not moving
my phone number.
Yeah.
Okay, so, because since you don't have a landline...
That's right.
Go ahead and text us what your... let us know what your neighborhood is, your suburb, so that we can tell from your zip code, and we will... Zip code, your area code, and we'll tell John what that is. The 773-847.
Well, my question is, am I a dummy and all the other people listening generally know these area codes when you say them?
815, I would say, is probably a harder one. But yeah, okay. 630 and the...
I would assume people who have the area codes are obviously most familiar with it, so they would probably feel connected the topic we're talking about.
312-981.
But beyond that, no, I don't think that everyone knows every area code.
Okay.
Yes, no, I agree with that. 312-981-7200. You can text us what neighborhood your area code is.
Just tell us where you are right now.
Because we'll see from the area code.
That's radio. Yes. You'll be making radio.
You will be making radio. Laura Vaughn, what area code do you originate from?
Uh-oh. my phone is a 240 area code because I lived in Washington, D.C. for a while.
Yeah, see, and this is a problem I have when people call me and I don't recognize their number. I'll get friends who live here but originally are from Denver. Same thing as John Tatey with his New York number. Now you with your out-of-state number as well.
Sometimes I order food and they call me back. They go, do you know that we're in Naperville? But you're 240. Yeah, they're thinking that I called But, you know, who else texts us is 309, and that's downstate. That's like Peoria and Springfield, right? I think Springfield.
Which what number?
309. The area code 309. I know that when we lived in Peoria, that was our area code.
217 would also be Champaign.
I don't know if we listed this.
I'm so sorry I went off on this.
Yeah. Did we have this on the rundown? What other area codes can we talk about?
We didn't have time for it.
Nice, Laura. Now you're even singing. I'm 312, by the way, just if anyone's curious.
Also, the 414 would cover a lot of Wisconsin.
Would it? Okay, cool.
Do we get texts from Wisconsin?
The 732 is where I'm from in New Jersey, if anyone needs to know that.
I can just see everybody reaching for the volume knob in their cars right now, and they are turning this right up.
Right up. Area code chat, you know, I've always wanted.
You know,
it was my fault.
We got to bring Vincent and find out what area code he's from. More after this on 720 WGN. Remember when you could call this number? There would be a recording telling you that. Well, I don't even remember. Vince Maranto has joined us in the studio.
Hello. There we go.
There we go. And the senior editor for the AV Club, John. Not yet. Not yet. Craig. We're going to do the. Not yet. I don't even know if we'll get into it all now because we were supposed to talk about on the rundown. If you take a look, it was supposed to be Mad Men right now, but we are doing area codes. There probably was only one area code. It was probably with letters in it during the run of the time period of Mad Men.
Letters?
Yeah, they use letters when they would make phone
calls. Oh, because they used to say dial Washington 7 4900. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So
I was in high school, there was one phone book for the entire Chicagoland area and suburbs.
See?
And it was so funny because I went to a guy – with the school of the guy whose name was Steve Zizda, Z-Y-Z-D-A, and his claim to fame was he was the last name in the Chicago phone book.
Oh, see?
Yeah, there you go.
That is a good claim to fame. That is good.
Now, see, if you didn't bring me in, you would have never heard
I would have never heard of Steve Zizda. Never. And if John Tatey hadn't been intrigued by the 815 area code, we
and
wouldn't
I'm
be
I'm so glad that Chicago, that I said, make a little radio with your area code, Chicago, and we've got a ton of texts, right?
Yes, we've got a...
Just to let you know, in the last... 6 minutes, we've gotten 57 text messages about people in their different area
That's
codes.
Awesome.
Oh, so who's listening to us?
And yeah, it keeps going.
It keeps
area
going?
Code pride.
Right. So we're going to give someone a prize?
Yeah, I wanted to randomly pick one of our area codes and give them a $25 gift card to Leo Malinati's. I think as our guest who's confused by it or intrigued and wants to know more about our area codes, which one would you like to pick? Pick the area code.
Oh, wait. Let's give them all the way till midnight because we're getting so many
yeah,
texts.
You're right. It's not fair. You didn't know that. 312.
We'll pick them in the next segment.
Yes. 312-981-7200. Text us and let us know where you're texting from because we're linking area codes with the suburbs or beyond because apparently we're getting texts as well from Florida, California, Jersey. So it's kind of fun to find out where people are listening.
California, really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow, okay.
And again, John Tatey was intrigued by our area codes. We were going to talk Mad Men, there are certain shows that go right by me, like Breaking Bad. I never watched one single episode. Now, Vince Maranto, not interested in Mad
Men. Loved Breaking Bad, mm-hmm. And even the spinoff Better Call Saul. but cannot get into Mad Men. I don't know why. Maybe because of my age, I lived through the 60s, and none of that looks cool and appealing to me
because
I was a kid then.
My mom cannot get enough of the show. My mother is morose because the show is winding up. Yes, and my mother was born in 1936. So we don't have to say anything.
Yeah, don't do that. She'll
that was wrong what I just did there.
What does she like about it?
She loves everything about it. Just, what's going to happen next, all this trouble that Don Draper's gotten himself into as the show's gone on, this, identity that he took on, during the war, but also the family dramas. And I think also the cultural atmosphere of it, too.
Yeah.
Because my mother felt the 60s very intensely. I think many people did. It was such a, transient sort of moment in time when you had the space race and you had, this idea of free love and music and even
the assassinations.
That was the one I was going to come to. Was I thought they did a great job when Kennedy was killed and when Marilyn Monroe died and those moments that were very intense for people. But for my mother and for Mexico, believe it or not, for many Mexicans that was a huge sorrow because they felt like this was a president that spoke to them. He was a Catholic president, and my mother and many Mexicans really adored President Kennedy. So I think that she also was moved by that episode.
Yeah. Was she a Bobby Kennedy fan too?
All the Kennedys, I think. Well, yeah, not Joe. I mean, I don't think she was into rum running as much. I don't think that was like her.
That was a little earlier.
I'm always fascinated by the preference in a lot of Catholic families. Like I had I worked on a writing project with a guy a few years ago, and his family was all about Bobby Kennedy. And I was like, what about JFK? And he said, yeah, JFK's fine, but like my family was always all about Bobby or his mom and dad,
No, yeah. I do think specifically Jack and Jackie.
Yeah. Camelot.
Absolutely. but I think there was also, because they visited Mexico, also had a big impact.
Oh, really?
The Kennedys went to Mexico.
Well, so, I never thought about how much that would have had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course.
And so we are wrapping up, and the last episode.
Mad Men, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. It was such a slow episode, I think, for me because I so love Peggy and Joan. I guess, do we feel like that was a little bit of their swan song before the very last episode? We kind of know which direction they're going in.
I think it may have been.
She's going to get, Joan's going to get 200, 50 cents on the dollar? Or?
She was going to get $250,000 for her $500,000 remaining that she was due. But Peggy, so Joan kind of departed, and then Peggy came in, and she had all this swagger and style. So
cigarette
it looks
dangling out of her mouth.
I feel like Peggy's going to be just fine. Okay. And I think that last moment she had with Roger Sterling kind of released her. I would not be surprised if we didn't see either of those characters, or Roger Sterling, in fact, in the last episode.
And then Betty, of course. And for those of you who have not seen this weekend's episode, I don't know how much we want to talk about it, because it does seem like a lot of people have it on their, they're like storing it up to watch the last two episodes together, even.
Well, Betty is facing a major life change, let's say.
Okay.
And
like
we
that.
Saw that bring her closer to Sally.
Yes.
In this episode. And Kiernan Shipka, who plays Sally, has been one of the real revelations of this series. And she, for example, the fellow who plays Glenn, her sometimes sort of love interest, that kid.
Oh,
that kid's.
That was creepy when he came back and he still wanted Betty.
Yeah. I mean, that.
Her mom. This kid, Vince, wanted this other kid's mom and has wanted her since he was like 11 years old. It's creepy. Let's take a quick break here and talk a little bit more after the break. We're never going to get to Game of Thrones. I'm so very sorry. 720 WGN. It's pretty late. 312-981-7200. We have a $25 gift card. We're going to randomly pick from, let us know where you're texting from. Not now, Craig. It was actually scheduled here. You're right. It was scheduled here, but not right now because Rich has been on the line. We've been talking about area codes. It emerged. You're right. It did come out a little bit on Friday when Dr. Charles Turk was sort of mocking the fact that
he kind of besmirched the idea of giving out an area code.
Yes.
Outrageous.
And then we were talking about John Tatey's he is the senior editor for the AV Club. He is a transplant here from the East Coast and not quite familiar with all of our area codes. And we were talking about his...
not familiar with your strange ways.
Yes. And... he has a new Apple Watch, right? So someone said they were voice texting us, and that was our first voice text from an Apple Watch from the 815.
From the 815.
So there's the genesis of this entire conversation. Comedian Vince Maranto, who is headlining at the Zanies in Rosemont. He has a show Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, two shows.
No, just Wednesday night.
Just Wednesday night? And
yeah,
then next week?
We're all over the place. And they then, got all kinds of different people coming in and out.
Well, then we'll
he'll still
just
exist and be funny on those other nights,
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely.
Just not.
Yeah, stop by the house.
Yeah.
Stop by the house.
So Wednesday night at Zanies. Go to Zanies.com for Wednesday night tickets.
Right, and then next Tuesday and Wednesday downtown.
At the Zanies on Wells.
Right.
Which is one of my, I love all the Zanies clubs.
Oh, and you know what? Just really quick, because I did it the last second last time. I'll do the same deal that I did last time. For tomorrow night's show, Friends of Patty, as I always do here.
Fops.
We have Fops, Friends of Patty. If you call up tomorrow, the Rosemont, that is where I'm at, box office, mentioned the code word. Patty, Craig, do you remember what it is?
What is the code word?
Craig, do you remember?
Craig, do you remember what
I
the
do
code,
not remember.
I don't remember the code word.
McRib.
Oh, McRib, yes. McRib.
I'll get you up to 4 tickets for free tomorrow.
Okay,
night.
So go to call the box office tomorrow.
Right.
Zanies, do you have the phone number? It's an 847, I'll bet.
Yes, it is. It's 847. I want to say 813-0484.
And you know who can help us with that a little bit, at least with the area codes. Is Rosemont, would you say, Rich, an 847? You are calling us with the area codes. You know all of them? Hey, Rich.
Hello?
Hello.
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 Rich, tell us about your area codes.
Yes. You are calling.
First of all crime in the hater, eh?
Hey.
Most of us educated Wisconsinites listen to WGN.
Oh, that's good to know. Thank you.
And we have 414-715. And if you want to see where MedMen still exist, you go up to the 920 area, up to northern Wisconsin.
That's where Appleton.
Still in the 60s.
Appleton is a 920, so they're still in the 60s. So they still have rotary phones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like some of them still have the lady on the with the push buttons.
Oh yeah, not that many left of those.
Thanks for the call, Derek.
The rotary phones actually influenced area codes because major cities like New York has 212, Chicago 312. They take less time to dial on the rotary phone, so that's why all the major cities of the United States have low number area codes.
And just to let you know too, it started in 1947, and states that had one single area code had the zero in the middle. States that had multiple area codes had the one in the middle.
Ooh.
And also, every single area code has been used. I'm making mine up.
Well, Rich, where are you calling from the 414?
St. Francis, Wisconsin.
St. Francis, Wisconsin? What is that? I don't even know where. Have you been, Vince?
The last little vestige. We're one of the last little vestiges south of Milwaukee. We're part of Milwaukee County, but we ain't under the ruling of Tom Barrett. So,
there you go.
We got our own mayor, so we're lucky.
There you go. So your own mayor in St. Francis and the 414. Thank you so much for calling, Rich. We appreciate the update on the area codes of Wisconsin.
I
do. Thank you. No, I'm serious.
Man, I wanted to ask him where his good fish fry was on Fridays.
Oh, Rich, are you still there?
That's okay.
No, he's gone. The good fish fry? They got some
everybody
good fish
Wisconsin
fry in Wisconsin
has a good fish fry on Friday. That's why.
Go to Door County, Sister Bay. Get some good fish fry
up
there.
Oh, crepes. Good supper clubs up there, I'll tell you.
So we do. Now, have we decided how?
Would you please do this? Because I don't want to hear the song anymore.
Okay. You've got. Look at the time. We can't. No. Yes, you could talk about what is that? What song is that from? What show?
That is from the Game of Thrones.
Yes,
the Game of Thrones show on HBO.
On HBO, it's a good show.
And I want to say that Craig nailed something last week on this very show.
What did he nail?
We were talking about this great outbreak of stabbing that took place in Meereen, which is where Daenerys Targaryen is right now. Where she's setting up her empire, basically. And there was this particular character, Grey Worm. I know it doesn't look that great on a wedding invitation, but that's his name, Grey Worm. And
I like that he mentions wedding invitations because there may be some in Grey Worm's future.
There may be. Yeah. He predicted that Grey Worm lived through this battle, and I predicted that he was dead. And one of the first shots of the episode this week was of an alive Grey Worm.
Well, there you go.
At this point in Game of Thrones, so many people have been killed that you can tell while they're falling to the ground if that's a real death or they're just almost dead.
Yeah.
I can tell now. I can see the difference.
He was just tired from all the stabbing is what happened. He
didn't
die.
Laid down for a while.
He just got stabbed in the gut and then was
a few times.
Got to take a breather here.
Right.
There are a lot of shows where it looks as though somebody is dead. And obviously everyone's very upset about what's happened recently on Grey's Anatomy. But then what they did was on that Thursday night, they also had a character on Scandal who was stabbed repeatedly. And turns out he was also just very sleepy.
Oh, was he?
He was.
A little stabbing will make you a little groggy for sure.
Mm-hmm. Repeatedly. I mean, repeatedly they stabbed him.
It's like jet lag except with being stabbed.
Yes, and the bloodletting. Yeah. A lot of bloodletting on that. And okay, so that was what was the breast and butt count on that episode of Game of Thrones?
You know, I feel like we only got a touch this
week. Yeah, we were butt light this week.
Yeah. There was a little. We saw a torturer's butt, and we saw a...
Do we want to see a torturer's butt? Did it, like, was there a flap that sort of, when they were swinging the axe or
he's
something?
He's a sexy torturer, you see. He's a young lord, young bastard lord who also likes to torture people. And we saw him, and we saw his... let's say his companion is
she was full on
sex
naked.
Companion's yeah. whole body.
So there was boob there, boob
there
and
was,
butt.
There was everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah. Well, there was boob and butt.
So,
there wasn't the
well,
whole,
you can
you can imagine. Yeah.
Okay.
So I mean, do
there,
the math on the rest.
She's standing and it's there.
Well, now that brings up an interesting point.
There was caboodle, but no kit.
Yes.
There was no kit?
Well,
it was not the complete kit and caboodle.
Okay, so let's
caboodle
discuss
no
this.
Kit.
Was there no kit? Because it wasn't like Basic Instinct. There was no zoom in on that situation.
But if you're seeing, are you seeing
but
frontal?
When you see a fully naked woman just standing and you see the whole body, it's there.
You're right, but I feel like they shot her sort of from an oblique angle. I'm not sure if we got the full frontal shot, but I don't
remember.
You're
right, with shadowing and everything.
Yeah.
Now, in the time period of Game of Thrones, now, do they have Brazilian waxes? Is this common in this time period?
They do not.
Oh, no. So they're full?
There's you've seen...
Bush? What?
I didn't know what word to use. You've seen that on the show.
Yeah. Oh,
a few times.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the women are not.
All the women have seasoning. Yeah. But they, you know, they're all smooth everywhere else.
Okay.
Yeah. So, which is the part, now that you bring it up, that I find a little bit dubious.
Right. So their armpits are barren. Their legs seem to not be quite hairy. But in that area, they're like, well, let's.
And they usually have a tasteful amount of growth. You know, but it's.
I like that. Tasteful amount of growth would be
right.
Way
it hasn't gotten unkempt.
Vince doesn't even know what part of the conversation
he's going to start watching Game of Thrones if he hasn't. Right.
Okay, so how many episodes are left in the season? How many are we in?
Four, I think.
Okay.
Is it four or five, Craig?
Interesting.
I got to look it up.
Because Mad Men is really racing to the end. I mean, we have just one.
Well, yeah, we got one left.
And they started a marathon. Is it Wednesday night or Thursday night? They'll start a marathon of every single episode of Mad Men. So your AMC will be completely clouded up with, which if you don't like it, Vince, you will stay away from that station.
Vince can catch right up.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you can.
That's right.
Pop some no-dos.
I think that
Vince should do the whole marathon and call us while it's happening.
I think you should at least watch the pilot episode. Yeah. I think it's quite elegant.
No, I've told you. I watched the first three. I didn't particularly care for it. Okay. Everybody, you got to watch more.
Boy,
I watched
you've done a three. That's plenty.
I watched a couple more, and I still. And as I explained to people, I don't understand. Here's what I don't understand. I don't like any of the characters. I find them all despicable people. Yet, I feel the same way about The Sopranos, but I love that show. So I don't understand what their fine line is.
Is John Hamm just too good looking?
Handsome John? Yes. No, I don't have a problem with Handsome
and
John.
And Joan? Joan's a great character. Peggy?
I just don't like what they are.
I understand. By the way, can I just, full disclosure, do not like the show Seinfeld. I never liked any of the characters.
Oh, really?
Yeah, never liked any of the characters. Never felt invested in them. Thought they were all kind of reprehensible. And I was like, I can't.
See, I love that show.
Yeah. And I mean, I've laughed at it. I've had it on the background. Like, I love Master of Your Domain. I think is one of the greatest moments in sitcom history.
So I wonder where that fine line is where you can't stand the people, but you like the show.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I don't know where.
Yeah, Kramer made my skin crawl. I like Julia Louis-Dreyfus and other things. It was those characters I couldn't watch.
What's interesting about Mad Men 2, I guess, over this last season is how it's been split up to just these short little seven-episode pieces. Do you think that paid off, John, the way they did that? Or do you think they should have just aired the season as a whole?
I think it paid off because I think that it forced Matthew Weiner to think about that structure. And I actually think that the season... Other Mad Men seasons have actually done this, had this two-part feel, but making it explicit really gave it, it did make it feel like two small chapters.
Yes.
And I think the separation was great because we sort of had the denouement, the sort of pinnacle of independence in the last season. And then like at the end of the last half season, and then the end of the previous half season, we had the McCann takeover. And then this season has really been about McCann takeover and everything sort of crumbling from there. So I've loved the structure.
Oh, I've loved the chaos of trying to blend them and having it explode.
Well, it's just a reckoning for everyone, which is what the show needed at this point.
Oh yeah. No, it's fantastic. You can feel it crumble. The relationships, just from that moment, I'm not sure the character's name with the patch. But when he came back,
Ken Cosgrove.
Yeah, yeah, Ken. When he came back and he said, "No, I'm not. No, no, no. I'm not going to be a client. I'm going to be your client. I'm not firing you. I'm going to be your client," which would be much worse. I mean, those kinds of moments. Like, I am all about the retribution.
Totally.
Yes, that was fantastic.
Didn't you love when he came back?
Yes.
And finally got to say no to them.
Oh, yeah. And he made them dance. He made them dance for him.
I love that.
Yeah, it was dance for me, little boys. Yeah. Oh, you know what? It was always going to be no.
Yep.
Yes. So it was, it's been delicious to watch a lot of that. And then again, with Don Draper at the American Legion with all the veterans of all these wars, that was so intense.
Oh my gosh, I was saying that to Patty last night. It was so intense when he agreed to go to that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then when there was the person, like you said, Patty, the other person who served in Korea staring at him.
Oh, and he wouldn't turn and look at him. Mm-hmm. And then Wojciechowski from Barney Miller. Wasn't that the
yes.
Yeah, the detective. He was great.
Well, isn't that such an incredible way to use a backstory that we've known since the first season? This is something we've known about Don Draper, Dick Whitman, since the very beginning of the show. And we get this intense moment at, you know, a charity event.
And then he makes it through, right? And it's fine. And he's pals with these guys. And then he wakes up to them just beating the crap out of him.
Yeah.
It was, yes, it was, I really enjoyed that episode a lot.
Me too.
Well, we're not going to be able to talk to you after the series finale until you get back from Korea. What are you doing in Korea?
My wife has an art show in Korea.
Oh,
she
right.
creates knitted characters and sculptures. And yeah, her latest gallery show is in Seoul, so we're flying over there. Yeah,
wonderful. Have a wonderful trip.
And John is Skyping us from Korea, I think he said. He's for sure Skyping us.
Yes. I didn't ask if you were leaving right now, but I wasn't sure. I didn't want to keep you if you were getting late.
No, it's a school night, so I better get going. Night.
All right, so follow him on Twitter, at John Tatey, JOHNTETI, and avclub.com. Also, you can follow AV Club at The AV Club on Twitter.
That's right. You got all that, listeners? Go. Follow.
Go.
Click.
From whatever area code. You
That's
can do
right.
it. You don't have to.
Oh, did we pick a winner?
Did we pick a winner? How are we picking a
can
winner?
Can I pick a winner area code?
Yes. Yeah, so John Tatey will pick a winner area code. We've all gotten all of our entrants because it had been a lot. How are you going to
How are you going to do this, though? Okay, what if there's like 1,000 people from that area code?
Well, just
there are
no.
a lot
and then,
the
yes.
area code.
Okay, so he'll give us an area code, and I think Vince probably knows a suburb, so that's how we'll narrow that
oh,
down.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm going to pick the area code that started this all, 815.
Yes. Okay, so do we have any from the, and then
we have tons from the 815.
And you have your map. Do you want
to
pick a?
No, I don't have to, because I'm pretty sure, I think, is Crystal Lake 815?
We'll have to check and see.
It is. Vince, go ahead and give me a number between 1 and 40.
Mm-hmm.
Between 1 and 40? All right, I'll go with Tony Esposito, 35.
Awesome. Perfect.
Okay.
The 35th call texter from that area code will win.
All right. There we go. So Craig will inform you of that win, and that's going to be from is it from Crystal Lake or
Sorry.
Is it just a 35 from the 815 is what we went with? We're trying to, yes. All right. If that sounded complicated, you're right, but it works, and we will pick a winner from our text screen. John Tatey, off to Korea, and have a lovely trip, and we'll miss you, but we'll see you again
soon. I'll see you soon.
And we'll talk about the wrap-up of Mad Men. More with comedian Vince Maranto, who's headlining at Zanies in Rosemont for Wednesday night, and then Zanies on Wells next Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yep.
And we'll catch up with him, and we've got to talk a little bit of pension stuff, so I know Vince is excited about that, but we'll catch up. We'll come back and catch up, and then catch up again. Oh, there's things after the 720 WGN. Okay, so we have something new at the bottom of every half hour, Vince, so I have to make sure I'm on time. So I do want to talk to you about your house. But if I cut you off, you have to not be hurt.
Oh, no, believe me.
I know you have been trying to sell your house for 65 years.
Okay, here. Let's just put it this way. Because if you know anything about me, I'm afraid to jinx things.
Okay.
So let's say there's a guy who's just like me that got an offer on his house, accepted the offer, they signed the contract, just had his home inspection, and is waiting to find out if everything's fine.
That guy must be so relieved.
He's relieved, but he's very, because he's just so afraid that he's going to jinx anything, he told me not to tell you his name.
Oh, we didn't hear anything. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by comedian Vince Maranto, who is performing at Zanies. He's headlining at Zanies in Rosemont. You can go to zanies.com for information. And he also has friend of the show tickets.
That's right. Tomorrow, if you call the Zanies box office in Rosemont and mention the magical word McRib, I'll get you up to 4 tickets for free. Supplies are limited, so make sure you call early. Why McRib?
Now I'm hungry for a McRib. No, I know that you love McRibs, and they're not in season. Although, I mean, there shouldn't be a season for pork, but they for at least pork like
with the
product.
Way I eat them. it pretty much averages out to one a week anyway.
Mm-hmm. Do you freeze some of them?
No. I mean, I eat so many at the. I beat my own record last time I had. In that short amount of time they were out, I had 37 McRibs.
And how many days were they out?
It was like from November to January.
Oh, it was
37?
Yeah, I had 30.
That is awesome.
Well, I stopped at 35, mm-hmm. and then Tony Esposito's number, by the way.
Yeah.
And as we found out earlier. And then a friend of mine brought me two more. So I'm not going to say no.
How many do you eat at a sitting? Is it one a time?
Well, here's what I do. The first day it comes out, I have two for lunch and one for dinner. And then if I'm coming home and it's not too late and there's one that's open late, I'll have the fourth one.
I think that there's a certain amount of admiration and fascination that that Craig is exhibiting at this point.
Well, don't get me wrong,
it's all
too.
Admiration.
Don't get me wrong, too. That's it. Then that's all I eat for that day. I have to like starve myself for this too. You know, I'm not eating regular meals and then throwing, you know, four McRibs on there too.
No, so you save up all your calorie consumption for the McRibs.
Right.
So, right. And then you work out, you go for a run.
Well, I wouldn't say go for a run. But I still work out
yes.
Still work out three times a week. I found out not too long. I didn't know if I ever told you this. I found out not too long ago that was the most I ever weighed in my life. Did I tell you how I found out?
How'd you find out?
I was at the Brookfield Zoo, and at the Pachyderm House at Brookfield Zoo, they have a big scale that says, get on the scale, see how you compare to the baby animals. Patty, don't ever get on that scale. Because I got on, and it turned out I weighed 1 pound less than a baby elephant.
Oh.
Yeah, it was great, because that's all my son needed to hear. He was like, Dad, you look hungry. You want some peanuts?
Oh.
Can I get some peanuts? So I went back to working out again, as I normally do. It was so funny. The other day, I weighed myself, and when I got off the scale, I did my usual, you know, oh, man, come on. And there was this high school kid, and he goes, dude, you trying to put on or take off?
Aww.
And I'm like, that is both the cutest and the nicest thing anybody's ever said to me.
It is like trying to take off or put on.
Because when I was in high school, I worked like crazy to try to. Oh, yeah, you saw those pictures of me.
I did. Your
those ridiculous
pictures.
Yeah, that's right. I did everything to try to gain weight in high school. And it's so funny how it's just totally the opposite way around now.
When you were working at McDonald's, because you worked as a kid at McDonald's and you were a manager for like 10
that's
years.
That's where I started putting on the weight. I mean, that shows you can't eat just that stuff every day. I mean, I went from... I was in college. Out of college and everything. I was like 140 pounds, like 130 in high school, 140. And then I remember after a couple years of McDonald's, boom, that was when I thought it was cute that I was getting a belly and everything, and I was getting close to 200 pounds. And yeah, and once that goes on, it's hard to get off.
A slippery slope at that point. Yeah, I think it was college. I think a lot of people, depending on what, you know, for me, when I lived in the dorms, having access to food just all the time. And then you would get, you know, you'd fill your tray up with food. And then I'd go back to my dorm room and be like, God, dinner was terrible. I'm going to order a pizza.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I didn't drink. I never drank in high school. As soon as you start having, you know, beers and
well, that's my downfall now, the beer thing. That's my downfall. It's so funny, too, when people like wait staff at the clubs, they'll see me like, oh my God, that's what you look like in high school. Oh my God, you were so thin. I'm like, yeah, so remember that in about 40 years for you guys too. Everybody just thinks they're always going to be thin.
Yeah, stay on top of it.
Right.
And you also, I don't know, we haven't discussed this because I haven't seen you since you went for a haircut, because you had grown your hair out for a very long time.
Yeah, I hadn't had a haircut in I don't know how many years. It was weird. My hair just stopped growing at a certain length.
Mm-hmm.
It went like, all right, if he's not going to do anything, then we're just going to stop.
It's just end right here. Like, yeah. I mean, there wasn't any trace of maybe the ends just sort of.
Oh, no. What happened after I got it cut, I realized it just kept curling up. I didn't think it was going longer.
Mm-hmm.
But it was weird when I looked at all the thing, all the hair in the bottom. All around it was like these like little Christmas wreaths of disgusting black and gray hair.
Like Italian dreadlocks something is what you're
going right.
with. Yeah, I love that picture of you getting your hair. I was like, I'm sure a lot of people were very thrilled because we've known you for a long time and it was the same length for years and years. I mean, the entire time I've known you.
And the funniest part about it was where I got the haircut. Do you know this? Do you know where I got a cut?
Mm-mm. Oh, it's... Wait, go ahead.
What used to be Zanies in Vernon Hills is now a beauty school.
Oh.
And so I literally got my hair cut in the middle of the old showroom.
That's so
weird. Yeah, is that funny? It kept cracking me up.
And every time you post it, you're going to be on the show, there are always people who are either fans or crew from the Zanies in Vernon Hills. It was a great club. It was.
Oh, yeah, that was a blast, that place.
Huge.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, is there still the Walgreens? Is that gone There was a Walgreens. There was a Jewel.
No, Dominic's. Even the ill-famous burrito is gone. That's not even there anymore. Yeah, I know. I was very disappointed. I thought that was going to be there forever. The only thing that's still there is that dollar store around the corner. Everything else has changed.
Right.
Oh, and that cool cookie place. Oh. That, you know, that cookie, whatever that name of
it. The ice cream shop is gone, too? There was an ice cream shop in there? Yeah, there was a lot of stuff.
I don't know. No, I don't think that's there anymore. Yeah.
What's with these strip malls these days? I can't keep anything in there. Are there, I mean, do you ever notice that there are things in the neighborhood you just like you just sort of have that memory of it? Oh, you know what used to be there? Especially if you live in a neighborhood where you grew up.
Well, where I grew up in Arlington Heights, we moved out there when I was in sixth grade. There was the corner right there of Golf and Algonquin Road. I was at a stoplight there the other day. And I happen to be looking around. I'm like, oh, yeah, this used to be called the Tin Cup Pass was the name of the little, you know, strip mall thing.
Tin Cup Pass?
Yeah, it was the name of it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, across the street used to be Ponderosa. That's not there anymore.
Oh, man.
Well, that used to be that. And everything was different, totally everything. I'm like, there's not one thing that was here when I was in high school. Everything is totally different. It was weird, yeah.
Well, especially if there's something that you just were familiar with. Like, I used to always go to a TJ Maxx or a Marshalls. A Marshalls on Waukegan in Dempster.
Okay.
And it's well, there used to be a parking there. It was a miniature golf place. But no matter how many times I drive by and I know that those places are still gone, I still am drawn.
And we've talked about that on the show before, Patty. Vince, I don't know if you've been tempted to do this. Just don't acknowledge what it's become.
Oh, yes.
Just walk into the business and treat it like what it was.
And pretend like it still is.
So go into the whatever's now at the Ponderosa and just order some food.
Yes. Yeah, so you go to the beauty school and say, well, now what time does the show start? Are there comics that I'm familiar with?
I'm going to do 15 minutes. I don't know what everybody else is going to do.
Because, and part of that conversation came out of, sort of grew out of the fact that my apartment that I grew up in became an Aflac office. I grew up on the second floor of the sort of.
Really?
It became an Aflac office. And so I just went up the stairs and I opened the door to this office and there was a woman's desk where my couch had been. And I stood in front of her and went, that's where my couch used to be. And I mean, can you imagine being in the middle of your day, you're a receptionist or just someone filing whatever or, you know, doing insurance claims and someone just walks in and starts yelling at you about where their couch used to be. It's a little jarring.
Yeah, that's pretty weird when all that stuff changes like you know,
do well with change. I don't know why.
As they say in Wayne's World, we fear change.
We fear change. We really, really fear change. But the Zanies in Vernon and Rosemont is one of the best clubs in the country. It's beautiful. That whole entertainment complex.
Oh, that whole thing. Boy, I tell you, people knock the mayor of Rosemont, but that guy knows what he's doing, man.
He really
knows how to. And if you, I just noticed it today on the way in. I hadn't been there in a couple of weeks. Now, there's like a million office buildings on 72 that weren't there like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, there's 2 weeks ago?
Like 2 weeks ago, there was just a field. There's like a bunch of, how did that guy put those things up?
We need that construction crew to take care of the Kennedy. That's all I know.
We also have to do that indoor skydiving in Rosemont, that iFly thing.
Yeah, I have no
interest in
that? No interest in that whatsoever.
You're so close to the ground, you're not actually in danger.
I don't know why I keep going like this. I keep doing the skydiving.
He's pretending that they're going to do it in the showcase
right now. They just hover over the board.
I mean, I'm sure it's a fine establishment. I don't want them coming and boycotting my show now. But I personally have no, any kind of, I've never skydiving, ballooning, any kind of that.
Scuba
I've never
diving.
Had. You know, it's so funny. I always wanted to be, I remember there was two things I wanted to be when I was a kid. When I was little, I wanted to be a comedy writer and I wanted to be, if that didn't work out, a scuba diver. And the funniest thing of the whole process is, until this day, I'm 58 years old, I never learned to swim.
Oh, well, that would make it very, well, there's still time.
To learn to be a scuba diver?
Yes.
It takes a very courageous, amazing type of person to skydive,
well,
speaking from experience.
Yes, it does.
Oh,
and to be tethered to another human being while you're doing it.
Yeah, that part too. Right.
But here's the thing about scuba diving is that you don't have to swim because you have the self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. You can actually just sink.
Hey, very good. You just you actually, what is it, anagrammed scuba? Yeah, self-contained.
Do you know how I know that? I learned that from watching Family Ties. I wish
from
I was
Family Ties. All right, let's hear this.
I believe Mallory is studying for some test, and she I think she keeps repeating what the answer is.
You know how much I've learned from television? I remember on an episode of Coach, or episode of Cheers, Coach was trying to learn geography, and he said he likes to do it by songs, and he came up with Albania. Albania, you border on the Adriatic. And I've always remembered that Albania borders on the Adriatic just from that.
Only the problem is a lot of those countries are shifting in their geography and political allegiances and what their borders are.
But it's amazing what you've learned from the stupid television
show. Absolutely.
One, two, three. Albania, Albania, you border on the Adriatic.
That is really
there it is. Wow, that was very quick.
He's quick at that.
That was very.
And yet, no Mallory with the self-contained underwater breathing apparatus.
No, I looked for that,
and that wasn't
easy.
I can't believe you pulled that up so quick. I can't believe that's there. First of all,
he has quick access, very quick fingers.
But I mean, that's such an obscure.
It is.
Who is singing? Who is that?
That was a coach with Sam Malone, with Ted Danson.
Oh, I was trying to put that.
I can't think of Coach's real name.
Yeah, I can't either. Oh, he was a great actor, though. And it was funny. It was hard to take Woody Harrelson as the replacement, and yet he became such a beloved character.
Nicholas Colasanto.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. Oh, that's it.
There you go.
But it's so funny, too, that it's one of those few shows, especially back then, where they actually... where the actor died and they actually
acknowledged
it. Yeah,
that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they grieved.
It used to be, where they just ignored it or something, or they moved or something like that.
The character of Coach is now being played by...
Darren Stevens. But yes. it was weird that they actually, made a whole big deal of it. I can't think of anybody before that. Can you think of a show before?
There were shows that would take on serious topics, but I don't know that it ever came up when
where one of the actors died, though, and then they had it be part of the...
incorporated part of the... 312-981-7200. Do you remember any other show that did that? We'll come back in just a moment on 720 WGN. We're hanging out with Vince Moranto. He's at Zanies in Rosemont. Go to zanies.com for information. And the password is...
McRib.
For a discount when you call the box office.
And they're always glad you came.
You know what I realize? I actually have a place now, and it's friend of the show. I have a place where everybody knows my name, where people know what I drink, and I have my very own bartender, who's one of my favorite bartenders on the planet. It's Knife and Tyne is my place, where everybody knows my name. And Carissa Schaefer, the proprietor of Knife and Tyne, just actually tweeted at us. She grew up in Arlington Heights as well, mm-hmm. and said the Ponderosa. What happened on Wednesdays at the Ponderosa? Was that like a special buffet night, or was that just her family night?
Well, that might have been just her family.
But now it's a tire store. So
right.
Per Craig's request, you now
go
have to
in
go.
There. Sure.
Yes, you have to go in and ask. Ask
for a two-tip dinner.
Two-tip dinner.
Sure.
Exactly, or whatever platter you desire.
That's right.
And you have to, you want to know were there extras like for steak for the salad bar? You get salad bar and you could get different meats. I can't remember what the Ponderosa. They still have
a salad bar too. I think there was it could be a meal or a meal and a salad bar. I can't remember because there was Ponderosa and Bonanza was the other one.
Bonanza.
Ponderosa and Bonanza were. I don't know if it was the same company with two different names, because Ponderosa was the name of the ranch on Bonanza. So
that is confusing.
Yeah. So I don't really remember that. But yeah, so when you go into this place, do people yell out your name like Norm?
No, I go and I yell at them because I'm so excited to be there. And like Richard will come out of the kitchen. I'm like, Richard! And I get very excited.
It would be nice if they actually shouted your name.
Well, now they probably will.
My
favorite
part of the fact that you have a place that you go and they know your drink is that it's not the one they named after you.
Well, they can't, yes.
Right,
well,
that kills you.
The drink that I have is usually whatever Nikki wants to put in my face. That's what we call it. What do you want to put in my face? Patty's Poison.
Okay, what's in it?
It has a gin and a rose liqueur. Okay. I'm allergic to roses. So it's called Patty's Poison. They didn't know that.
Oh, okay.
Yes. They didn't know that when they created it.
But they named it Patty's Poison, though.
Yes.
So that it actually worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Craig, do you have a drink? Does Craig have a drink?
No.
We
should come up with one.
Yeah.
What would be a drink for Craig?
Yes. We have to figure that out.
Well, I don't know.
What's your liqueur of choice? What do you like?
I'm a beer guy.
Oh, there you go.
So, yeah.
Craig's Brew.
Sounds great.
Craig's Brew.
Let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
Is your favorite beer like Nick DiGilio's? Nick always says, he goes in the bar and the first question he asks is, what's your cheapest beer? And when they tell him, then that's what he drinks.
Yep, that's always my favorite, too.
Yep, mine, too.
That's been something we've talked about before, things that you really hate in movies. Nick has talked about this on his show, that when someone just in a movie will say, give me a beer. and doesn't ask for a specific kind of beer, you know? So I've actually, when I write scenes, I'll say your stout on tap.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever asked for a beer. I've never said, I have a beer. That's right.
Always say, what beer do you have? And then you got to go through the list.
You know what's bugging me lately? I cannot get past this now, and I hope I don't tag you guys with all this. But I cannot stand movies, television, or whatever, people pretending to drink out of an obviously empty cup.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody can hold a cup that's empty and make it look like it's full. It's obvious that it's empty. And I know the reasoning behind it with the shooting and everything like that. But every time you see people, you know, it's obvious that that cup's empty, by the way they're flailing around with it, and they're pretending to drink out of it.
Especially on shows where they walk and talk. A lot on Grey's Anatomy, they often have coffee cups with lids on them, so they're often, and you can tell that it's empty.
What's funny, I realized that watching an old Law & Order one where Briscoe and where they all had their coffee cups and they're all walking around talking. I'm like, those are all empty. You're not faking anybody out.
Poor Vince, Craig. He's out of the show immediately. If they don't look like they've got any sort of liquor.
I hate the opposite, actually. I hate when they eat for real on a TV show because I don't want to watch someone eat food. I don't want to see that.
Yeah. And then the chewing and they're talking with their mouth full.
I love when they casually almost bite something several times and then the scene
keep putting it down.
That's my favorite is when they don't actually eat it.
If you watch Ocean's 11, Brad Pitt is eating in every single scene of that. He's always eating like a burrito or he's always got something.
Really?
Yes, he's always eating in that movie. You know what other movie they're always eating is in The Contender with Joan Allen and Jeff Bridges playing the president. He's always eating something. That's fantastic. Yes. I actually kind of enjoy that. He'll offer you a bite of like a sandwich or something. Yes, he's eating in a lot of the scenes. I don't know. That to me was very funny. Craig would be very disgusted by that.
Craig, does the cooking shows then bother you when they eat it? Or like?
So the cooking shows, I guess I'm accepting that when I go into it. But I don't want to watch Arrow and have every character eat something, especially pizza. I don't know what it is about watching people hold a piece of pizza and put it in their face.
You know why? Because it's always those big triangle cuts. It's always like hanging down.
Okay, great. Those make me hungry when I see the huge triangles.
See, now on television, if they were just eating the little rectangle,
ridiculous.
The squares.
That would be ridiculous.
By the way, we had a little bit of a pizza trauma at my house on Mother's Day. My mother wanted pizza from a neighborhood joint, and my mother and I both love anchovy pizza. And
I actually have a pizza question for you too. When this,
yes, well, no, but I plated everyone's pizza up, and this is what I see. I see Steve just stop mid bite, run to the kitchen. I did not sabotage him, but I accidentally gave him a slice of anchovy pizza. He was very upset. By the way, Knife and Tyne is going to get to work on a cocktail for you.
Vince, do you mind if I do a little show prep with Patty for tomorrow night's show?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, so we were offered free pizza yet again, and you're going to be in
Springfield. Every time I'm in Springfield?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I don't know if that's something that I should book or...
Here's what we do. If you could find me a pizza place in Springfield that will also send me a pizza, I think that would work.
Okay, I will try to do both.
Send that to my hotel.
Cool.
There we go.
And then I'll Skype from Korea. It'll all work out perfectly.
Works out very well. Where are we time-wise? What's happening for the up to the top of the hour?
You have no breaks left, and we just got to get to the 1 o'clock for the news.
Okay, so are there any buttons that I have to push, or will it just break in?
The button should be pushed on the board. You should. This is the best radio ever.
That's
fine.
What's your area code?
Selector one should be punched and rolled up.
Okay, so I'm gonna. It's not. Selector one is rolled down and not punched.
Okay, so
do you want we come here?
Do
and,
the opposite. Yeah. Okay, I'll come out there.
Will you come here and stand next to me so that when?
So in other words, we just kill time until we hear somebody important talking, and then
yes,
we shut up.
Exactly.
Is that the way that works?
Okay. Well, I have to make sure I hit my header too. You know what? I'm gonna do it before we get to it, just so I make sure. Vince Moranto, comedian Vince Moranto, very funny. One of the funniest guys around. One of my favorite comics is at Zany's in Rosemont. Go to zanies.com. If you go to their caller box office tomorrow and say the password
McRib,
you will get a discount.
You'll
four
get
tickets.
Four tickets for free. Free.
It's not even a discount.
Yeah,
that's a giveaway.
Free. That's right.
Full on giveaway.
We've gone mad.
You have gone mad, just like the station has, because you can listen weekday mornings at 7:20 for your chance to win $720. It's a 720 money clip on Chicago's very own 720 WG in Chicago. I will actually be on with Steve Cochran at 5:40. So I don't think that'll be the money clip. It's at 5:40. So we're going to need you to stay up from now until the end of Cochran's show. Go to bed, then go to Vince's show in Rosemont. This works out very well for everybody. I think this works for everyone's schedule. So go to zanies.com, get information. Oh, the phone number is 847-813-0484. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm laughing because Craig has covered up all the clocks. The clocks are not synchronized in the studio, and I've been going off of everything except for the accurate one. So he has covered all the non-essential clocks.
Right, the non-essential.
Could you cover that one? No, that
I'm going to take it down.
Well, I was told to go to either the U.S. Naval Observatory website. Or
who told you to do that?
Todd did, and then somebody in engineering told me to go. They gave me another place that I was supposed to go to. I can't remember what it was another exact, and that would be so that I would be on the same clock as you when I'm in Springfield. I'm going back to Springfield, Vince.
Was it the NORAD clock that they track Santa with? Was it that one you're
it
supposed
might
to do?
Be.
You know, actually, Adam upstairs right
the
now.
The doomsday clock?
Yes.
Our engineer is trying to deal with all the other unaligned clocks upstairs, so I think eventually he'll get down here.
Did he say the same thing?
Yeah, he just told me in my ear that he's dealing with that problem upstairs.
They're having
at WGN right now. There's several different times.
Oh, this! I feel so much better. Can I tell you how much I'm bathed in relief?
Yeah, see, there you go. It's not just you.
It's not your fault.
Yes,
it's not your fault. Broke.
I don't feel good that Adam is running around and having to deal with this. I just feel better knowing that this is not isolated to my situation. I have three digital clocks in front of me, and they all say something different.
Well, and since we're breaking this wall for a minute, let's commend Laura for her job covering that other news break that we didn't get
Laura.
To. That was brilliantly done.
That was very good. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Seat of my pants, really.
Yeah, seriously.
Really. I mean, I didn't even pre-read that. I scored it. I found it. The second that I opened it, I said, do you want me to do news? And you're like, yes, in 3 seconds.
Yes, and you did. You didn't do it in 3 seconds. But
she picked up the fumble and ran 99 yards for the score.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It was
that
very
feels
well
good.
Done.
Touchdown!
Hey, Laura, what's closing down every 15 minutes, did you say? What's it?
The Jane Addams Tollway outbound right approaching Beverly.
Oh, man.
That's way out there.
That's where I live. I gotta go past
there. They're going to just do it at 1:30 and 2 a.m., and then they're done. So if you go through there after 2 a.m., there's still going to be a little backup, but it's not going to be as bad.
Yeah, okay. I've had those before. It's so funny when they do it, too. You're like, they got to do this now?
It sucks the most on the tollway because you can't get off. I mean, there's like one exit, you know, for miles and miles. So you're
right,
stuck
but
there.
I always complain, like, they got to do this now. I'm like, yeah, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, you idiot. What would be a better time? 2:30?
My Uber driver was very upset that they had closed a lane on the inbound Kennedy when we were coming down. He was very nice, a little bit hesitant, we drove over a speed bump. How do you take a speed bump? Do you come to a complete stop before it and then just roll gently over it?
No.
Or do you just take it at a decreased speed?
Depends on the car I have.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
Well, you have
I don't think you're supposed to be on the brakes when you hit those.
I don't think so either.
Jeep can take them.
Well, you have a death rattle. Nothing. Who cares?
Yeah, the death rattle. Right? Who cares about the speed bump?
Yes, exactly. You're like, I can take anything. He has a Jeep Cherokee, and it has apparently a death rattle.
Vince, have you ever heard about this?
I don't know about that, but all I know is my favorite. What year is your Jeep Cherokee?
96.
I can't believe you said that. I had a 96 Jeep Cherokee. Craig, it was my favorite vehicle I've ever had in my life. And if it wasn't for the fact that I put so many miles on it, and I was afraid, because, Pat, you know, you're going up the Upper Peninsula in the middle of
Nagani during a snowstorm.
Yeah,
yes.
Right. And if it wasn't the fact that I was afraid that it wasn't going to last anymore, I would have never gotten rid of that. 96, what color is yours?
White.
Oh, I had the green one.
Yeah. So it's not his?
Wouldn't that be strange? That would be amazing if it was.
Some sort of strange chain of events?
No, I love this car, except for the fact that when I go over 65 miles an hour, I think I'm going to die.
It does this. It does a
rattle. It shakes, and I guess there's a problem with whatever is supposed to stabilize that.
Yeah, because I never had that problem with that. But yeah, that was my favorite vehicle that I've ever had. And I would have got another one, but they got rid of the Jeep Cherokee and they came up with the Jeep Liberty, the smaller one.
Right.
And then they've come back with the Cherokee again, but it's not that squared off. I mean,
it's very round. It's bubbly kind of.
Yeah, everything about the Jeep Cherokee, that squared look and everything, I love that thing.
They're always said when the cars evolve, like I had a Honda CR-V. I had a 2001 Honda CR-V that was a little bit, it didn't look as bubbly as they do now. Everything is very rounded. I like the original CR-V.
What I loved about the Jeep too was, because then after that I went to a Ford Explorer and then now I have a...
Yeah, you went to a Ford Explorer, but you went to a two-door Ford Explorer, which I found interesting. And I remember you telling me why, by the way, because your son was very young.
Yeah, so that would be, I wouldn't have to worry about someone snatching him or him getting out the back or anything because it was a...
And I've been terrified ever since. You told me that's the, that, that was why.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Craig, he brought a two-door SUV so that his child would not be abducted. Like, maybe he was getting... You told me that we were at Vernon Hills, no less.
Wow.
And he was telling me that it was...
At like a stoplight or something?
Like if he was parked?
Or whatever, yeah.
If he got out for a second to get gas,
the shopping cart away? I mean, think about all the times that you kind of have to leave your kid alone.
Oh, yeah, speaking of the shopping cart, here's what I still do now. My son's going to be 21, by the way, next month. I always park
right next to the
thing. Exactly, Laura. Park right next to where the cart goes.
The cart return?
Because you actually put your cart in the cart return and you take your groceries out and then you're in the car.
Right.
You don't have to go anywhere. I still have that habit from 21 years ago.
When he was a baby.
Right.
You know, Vince, I don't mean to tell you that what you try to do was flawed a little bit, but you'd be surprised how much people can steal and what they can steal from. We had a story the other night about someone who stole a baby kangaroo
from
the mother's
pouch.
It was inside the pouch in a zoo, so this is, you have to climb a fence and get inside the zoo. Yeah.
Went into the mama kangaroo's pouch,
stole
a baby kangaroo.
Right.
Animals okay, old Uncle Lair?
Gotta be fine there, little Laura. Apparently, little Laura, the... kangaroo is going to be fine, hopped away for a while, but it'll be okay.
Okay. Thank you. Well, as long as we're talking about strange animal stories, Craig sent me this. Man claims that his pet cat gave birth to a chihuahua.
Yep, there's a picture. There's a chihuahua in the box. That's all we need to know.
Run it by me again.
This man claims that his pet cat has given birth to a chihuahua.
Vince, do you need proof that happened? Well, there's a picture of a box with baby kittens and a baby chihuahua.
Oh, that's all I need.
That's all you need.
That's all I need.
Thank you, Internet.
A lot of people did not pay attention in biology class.
No. He said that he wonders whether his cat, Nui Nui, has committed unnatural acts with a dog in
I've heard that both ways, too.
Zhuahu City in East China. I apologize to all of our Chinese-speaking listeners.
Yep.
In Jiangsu province. I'm committing. The idea is to commit to your own pronunciation and just hope that you're close. But he said he sent the cat to his friend's house and for her to watch. Oh, for her to what? For her to mate? She was put in a cage with a male cat for 2 days, and he would never have put her in with a dog. In all my years, I've never heard of dogs and cats mating, but I am certain that I hand delivered this chihuahua from the cat.
Right. It's amazing because there were all cat babies and then one chihuahua baby.
See, the picture is of the after. Like, so if you'd taken a picture of the cat delivering a chihuahua that he hand delivered. I mean, like,
ask him to do that.
I mean, like, look, I know how easy it is to, you know, easy. Like, you got one hand on the cat.
Right.
You got one hand on the phone. It's easy, easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Cat birth selfie.
Yes.
Bill Murray predicted it in Ghostbusters. He said, cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria.
Yeah. Yep. Little did we know it would happen in this province of China. I think that the facts bear out.
I'm waiting for that soundbite to pop up. I'm afraid to say anything now without having the actual thing.
I actually almost looked it up, but then I decided not to this time.
You did not go for the sound effects.
Right. I could have.
I'm sure you would.
Let's see what we have in our bag of tricks when we come back on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN, hanging out with comedian Vince Maranto, who is at the Zanies Rosemont Wednesday night. Call the box office, 847-813-0484, and the password is...
McRib for free tickets.
Up to four tickets. More after this. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue, joined by comedian Vince Maranto, who is one of my favorite comics just ever. I've always loved working with you.
Thank you. Same here.
You're the Zanies Rosemont and Zanies.com for the calendar. But if you call 847-813-0484, not right now because the box office is closed, but call tomorrow, up to four free tickets with the password.
McRib.
Man, I'm hungry every single time you say that. Vince, when you worked at McDonald's many years ago,
yes.
did you guys have problems with anyone ever trying to, with a holdup, with being robbed at all?
No, one of the stores once, though, did have that problem where they were leaving. Oh, actually, there was a couple times. This was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Well, the one store, the two managers were leaving, and they had the deposit, and a guy came with a gun and said, give me the money, and the one manager threw the deposit on the roof. And the other manager said, hang on, I'll be right down, let me go get that for you.
What?
Because he knew it's not his money. They have insurance. So he actually went up on the roof. He unlocked the ladder, went up on the roof, came back down, handed the thief the thing, and then the guy left. Because, I mean, that's crazy. Why would you? And the other manager's like, why? What are you doing that for? What are you doing that for? He's like, oh, I didn't want the guy to get the money. I'm like, well, it's not our money.
Right? I worked in a lot of retail. I worked at Radio Shack. I worked at Marshall Fields, mm-hmm. Pizza Hut, Subway. I worked at Brown's Chicken. I worked at a lot of places. The Gap,
and
Limited.
As you say in your act, and some of those places, you still work there.
I'm pretty sure I still work
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right.
I'm afraid to go to some restaurants because I'm going to be given like the worst section in the restaurant. It's true. I've worked a lot of different. I worked at the Cactus right here on Wells. I worked at Planet Hollywood. I worked at Hooters.
You worked at Hooters?
I worked at Hooters, yeah, right over here on Wells.
Do you have pictures of yourself and your Hooters?
No, I have no
Hooter
pictures. I have no pictures of my. I always wore the T-shirt. You know, there's some girls that wear like the long sleeve shirt, the tank tops, and then the T-shirt. I always wore the T-shirt.
You know what? Believe it or not,
the shorts.
I've never been to a Hooters.
That's fine.
Yeah, I've just never.
The wings are actually quite good. I like the grouper sandwich when I worked there, and the buffalo shrimp was also very good. When I worked there, I kind of like the ham and cheese sandwich, but that's, you know, you get bored.
Have to go with wings if you go to Hooters.
Oh, they're so good. Well, yeah. I worked there for, you know, you get tired of eating wings all the time.
Plus,
you have to still fit in the shorts. But Subway has come up with the Subway restaurant chain is starting to implement a new security system.
Okay, this is just weird.
I don't understand.
No, go ahead.
You didn't know I was going to go this way?
No,
you didn't
please
see
do
the
this.
Path?
I sent you the story.
Yes.
I'm happy about it.
So they when someone, in the event of a robbery or violent crime, something tips off a mechanism in the store. So my guess is there's a panic button. The employees have to hit a button. And a mechanism will release a spray of traceable DNA onto the offender. And each store will be given its own unique DNA spray.
Yeah, you get sprayed with DNA, Vince.
Yes. The person is then marked.
From stealing at Subway, which is...
All right,
that's
wait, I'm confused, though. But then how do they...
So when they find... The person,
and by what we say when, if is
if
also the big
they
problem.
Find the person who's accused of stealing something, they check the clothing and everything, and they can locate this specific DNA.
Mm-hmm. It will glow when exposed to black light. So if you do steal from a Subway, please do not go dancing in a nightclub that incorporates black lights or a friend of yours that perhaps grows any certain products that may need black light. So please be careful.
Is this real or is this sounds like something that they would make up?
Right. So I had to triple research this story, but I saw video. Mm-hmm. So either it's a very, very developed con or it's real.
You guys know what I'm thinking? Like when the DNA, what this is with this?
Sprayed with DNA? What are you?
Yeah.
There's only one thing that comes to my mind.
Yeah.
And it's,
what glows in black light?
Does urine glow in
black? No, that's not what she's thinking.
No, that's not what I'm thinking.
Really? That glows in the... How do you guys know that it glows in...
Sorry, my scanner. Does it,
oh, yeah.
That guy knows. He knows it glows in the black light.
I mean, well, how do you not know, Patty? Because every time that they do one of those crazy TV shows...
Yeah, the
exactly.
hotel.
They go into
exactly.
Oh, I've blocked
everything
that out of my
glows,
mind.
That glows, we're told that's all
is all
male fluid.
Male fluid?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Although it's probably just spit, right? A lot of that, if you're sleeping on a pillow or something, drool would come out.
I don't even know what conversation we're having.
I don't believe the people
in
the hotels.
We're not talking about spit.
We can. Can we talk just a little bit about it?
You didn't even hit the adult button.
Well, we're not talking about the adult stuff, though. Every time they go into the hotel and they turn on that black light, and you see just it's everywhere. The glow-in-the-dark stuff is everywhere. That can't be the thing that's dirty. It has to just be like drool, right?
How does drool get on the wall?
I don't know.
But
it's easier to believe it's drool than
really
the other stuff.
So love Laura Vaughn right now. How does drool? I think that we have to live
you
in that
cough
moment.
If you coughed in your room,
how does drool get on the wall?
I mean, I really want to know, world, if this is real.
That's a real concern. The DNA spray or the drool?
Every time with the black light that they tell us that this hotel has just got to be the worst ever.
Okay. I've been on the road a lot, many, many, many years on the road.
You need to carry a black light.
The very first thing I would do.
That would be depressing. Absolutely what I never need to do is carry a black light.
I literally carry a flashlight and I check for bed bugs.
Well, that's smart.
The first thing I would do when I would check into a hotel, covers, you know, the
duvets.
The bedspread, whatever. Mm-hmm. Boom. Yes. Right in the floor.
Yeah,
right.
I hear never wash those.
Right, because I don't want to have anything to do with that. Would boom and in the corner, and that's it.
Yes.
And when I would come back, if they made the bed, I'd take it off and I'd stick it in the corner again too.
Yes. Yes, they don't do the bedspreads.
I never needed that at all.
And I usually ask for more towels and cover my if I have a couch or a chair or any of that kind of stuff. because I actually like to lounge in my own way when I'm on the road.
And one time
I don't think you're alone in that.
I'm not around the kids.
Which probably most people do not put a towel down, which is probably why
I put the towel down, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes,
and then when you drool all over the place, what's getting everywhere.
When you're sneezing and spraying your sneeze all over.
Exactly.
Yeah. Here's what I say. I say when you go to a hotel, bring a tent.
Put the tent right in the middle of the room.
Sleep that's in not the a parking lot.
And I say that because I've had to do that before. Because I went across the country. My best friend and I, Kathy, we were going from Champaign after we graduated. We went through Colorado. We were coming back up through the Badlands, and we hit some bad weather. We were camping the entire way. We hit some bad weather. She was very upset that we weren't going to be able to camp that night. And I said, oh, yes, we can. And so I put our tent up in our hotel room in South Dakota.
That's probably cleaner than the hotel room in the tent.
It was fantastic. So now whenever I think about being scared on the road, I'm like, I should just bring my tent with me. And pitch my tent.
A friend of mine and I were going through Colorado, and we miscalculated our arrival time, and we got there like 1 o'clock in the morning. These campgrounds, we couldn't tell where we were, what was going on. It's pitch black. It's totally pitch black. So we get the tent out. We pitch the tent, and the next morning I get up, I stretch, I go walk around.
Oh gosh,
to the back of the tent, and literally the back of the tent couldn't have been more than 2 feet away from this 800-foot drop-off. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I
don't know how. We must have literally been... I remember in It's a Wonderful Life, how they're dancing, and they almost get to the end of the pool, the fallen. We must have been doing that when we were pitching the tent. Because the next... I told him, I go, you got to come out here. You're not going to believe this. And he walked around the bank. He's like, oh, my God. I still don't know how. You talk about guardian angels. That's one time I'll believe that, because... The two of us.
Vince, we all need a guardian angel. More after this. You are listening pretty late, and as many of you know, I have been ringing the alarm bell for a couple of weeks, at least since about April 3rd, when the state of Illinois suspended funding for critical services for our most vulnerable, and I've been making trips down to Springfield to find out what's going on. I started out with a little bit of information-seeking mission, and learned a little bit along the way, and doing my best, but there are other people who've been on this who are, trying to keep everyone informed, and one of those people is the senior. Are you the senior editor, Matt Dietrich, for Reboot? The editor, editor in chief.
I'm the editor.
I knew it was editor, but I wasn't sure if there's are there many editors? Are you the head editor?
Just me.
Just
I'm
you.
Executive editor is my formal title.
There
but,
we go.
I don't know what the executive means, so I'm just editor.
See, I knew it was something. I knew there had to be something in front of it. Executive director, editor, and director. I'm guessing. Tell us a little bit about Reboot Illinois.
Reboot Illinois is a website and social media company that was founded in the summer of 2012, and we're focused on encouraging civic engagement, getting people back involved in Illinois government, taking an interest in it. On our website, we try to inform people about what's going on, and we're talking tonight here because of what's going on with the state budget and what's going on with pensions and everything else. Those are hard things to understand. And when we started about 3 years ago, it was at a time when people really weren't, pensions were on the verge of really consuming huge, huge chunks of the state budget. And a lot of people really didn't understand what was going on. So that was one of the things that we were all about, was kind of getting people back involved in the process, kind of doing away with some of the cynicism that had developed in the post-Blagojevich years. And, and we're also focused on improving education, improving the state's business climate, reducing corruption in Illinois government.
Right.
Those are some of the things we're all about. So we've got our website. We've got a daily email that we put out. And we also do live events where we've had back in the spring of 2013, we had a really nice pension debate where we had some of the main players early on in the pension thing. We've done forums on the progressive income tax versus the flat income tax, the state's bond rate, things like that. We've done live things. So we're kind of all about Illinois politics and government and getting people back involved in it.
And that's and it's hard. It is hard to convince people. When you mentioned cynicism, you know, I was surprised. And I suspect that when you put yourself out there and try to inform people, they're going to, regardless of your best intentions, people will sort of lash out at you and, you know, and sort of say, well, where were you before? Or, you know, there's nothing that can be done. It doesn't matter at this point. What do you say to those people, considering that cynicism is one of the things that you're kind of trying to deflate?
Well, we try to convince them that, yes, you can have a say in this, and you know, if you contact your lawmakers, they will listen. We have an area on our website. It's a tool that we developed. It's called Sound Off. And if you go there and put your address in, it will tell you who your senator and representative are, and you can type in a message to them on any issue you want. We've got several issues that we've kind of advocated for. Mostly kind of good government type things. And that's one way that we've tried to get people to be active. It looks up your state rep and senator for you, and it'll send them an email along with Governor Rauner and the four leaders of the General Assembly.
Right. So that's the thing, is that people really don't believe that they can have any impact. And they say, well, you know, I vote. We'll let them know what we think of their job when we vote. But there's time is of the essence, especially when we're talking about these cuts, whether or not we have a tax increase, the pension reform. How could you wait for the next election? We're already only a couple months into this and into this governor's, term. And clearly people need to speak up.
And, you know, Patty, as you so eloquently wrote in the piece that we ran on our website, writing about your son, Declan, the first real big shock, I think, to a lot of people came with those Good Friday cuts. And that was a deal where, you know, the Democrats had worked out a deal with Governor Rauner. They would pass these bills to give him some emergency powers because he had to fix a very big problem that, you know, the Democrats did create it a year ago when they passed a budget that they knew would come up $1.6 billion short unless they made the 2011 tax increase permanent or extended it, which didn't happen. So, you know, what happened was they worked out this deal. Governor Rauner said this is a great day for bipartisanship. They gave Governor Rauner some new budgeting powers to rearrange funds and whatnot. They passed two bills, and in those bills, there were a lot of specific programs that were named, and were named as with funding allocations.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was the autism project. I can't remember if early intervention was named in those bills, but there were a lot of them if you go through the bill. So the Democrats voted to give Rauner these powers, thinking that, okay, these programs that are named here, they're safe through the end of the fiscal year. They're safe through June 30th.
Right.
And, you know, as we know, this all happened on March 26th. Then 8 days later on Good Friday, we get, you know, $26 million in cuts, including funding for the autism project and an epilepsy support program,
mm-hmm.
HIV, just a whole laundry list of things that these were programs that were very near and dear to the hearts of the Democrats who agreed to vote to let Governor Rauner fix the budget. So I think they felt very double-crossed. Now, I was at a couple of the hearings in Springfield afterwards.
Mm-hmm. You and I were in the same room, I believe, because I saw the video of the mom who has two children who lives in Springfield.
Okay.
Yeah, so we were there that day. The same thing. We were so shocked. And one of the things that people don't seem to understand when they get angry that I'm going down to Springfield and ringing the alarm bell, none of the cuts affected my family directly. Those are programs that I know how important they are. And I know that you and I have the ability to reach people. And I wanted to understand what was going on. And that was that was when Matt Murphy was saying things like, why are we even here? Why are we bothering? You know, we need to move on. And, you know, there were many parents with children with disabilities in that room. And to hear how they talk about us when they think we're not there was shocking.
Well, and I think to clarify what Senator Murphy meant when he said that was, and this was, I think, even though you were there,
mm-hmm.
and so you saw Governor Rauner's budget director,
yes.
Tim Newding,
yes.
and he explained very eloquently. He's very well respected.
Yes.
I do not doubt his honesty, but I have to think that this is only $26 million out of, they needed to find $300 million more in cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And they had swept $1.3 billion in other funds. That's, you know, $26 million is such a tiny part of that. It's hard for me to believe that they weren't, the governor's office wasn't sending a message with this by saying, listen, hey, and Senator Murphy had, the point that he was trying to make, I think, was, listen, a year ago, Democrats passed a budget. The Democratic governor, Pat Quinn, signed it. They knew if they didn't, if they let the income tax expire, they knew by law at the time that the budget they were passing, if the law wasn't changed, that it would come up $1.6 billion short. So to the Republicans' point of view, listen, all these cuts are not our fault. It's the Democrats' fault. Don't blame Governor Rauner for it. Now, the point that I have tried to make is that one thing we have to realize is, you know, we saw the terror that this inflicted.
Mm-hmm.
And Patty, you were there when Whitney Ricus was a mom from Auburn, which is a town about 20 miles outside of Springfield,
right,
who has two severely autistic children. And, you know, she was terrified, and you could hear the desperation because to her, the Autism Project was a lifeline.
Mm-hmm. Gave her the ability to help her son take a bath.
Yeah.
You know, gave her family the ability to go out to eat at a restaurant, you know, which, mm-hmm, which people don't realize how small those victories are, but they're huge.
And this is one thing that everyone needs to pay attention to in these budget talks. And this is something that's bothered me throughout my career when I was at newspapers before, is that whenever there's a funding battle like this, it's always the most vulnerable people who get caught in the middle and get really jerked around, I think. And that's what I thought was happening there. That's why, you know, even if you say that, okay, those cuts are necessary. You know, government's got to do a better job than just inflicting terror on people like that. Imagine if it was, you know, if it was the early intervention program, mm-hmm, that you got so much out of, and you find out one day, boom, funding is gone, it's over. That's what happened here.
Yes.
There was no, you know, 6-week adjustment. There was no, the people who run the programs didn't have a chance to, you know, maybe get loans or whatever to keep it going through the end of the fiscal year. That, and, you know, we talk about that. That was only $26 million.
Mm-hmm.
And it's since been restored because they had a good unexpected tax collection,
yes,
which happens from time to time. But what people need to understand is that was nothing compared to what they have to do now, because May 31st is the due date for the budget for the fiscal year 2016, which starts on July 1st,
mm-hmm,
they have to cut or find new tax revenue somehow to make up a $6.6 billion short or a $6 billion shortfall. That's because, and that is, if they want to keep everything level, that's without increasing funding to anything, they need to somehow come up with either cutting or finding new revenue to make up $6.2 billion. That is a huge, huge hurdle, you know, because we're talking about a budget of about $30 billion. So that's, you know, 20% of your budget you're having to cut. Now, Governor Rauner, in his budget address back in February, when he gave his budget address, he issued his proposed budget,
mm-hmm,
and it zeroes out just about everything.
Right, including the autism program of Illinois. Right.
Right, for the whole fiscal year.
Right.
Now, I don't think for a second that's what's going to happen. I think he put out that severe budget as a warning, just because he knows everybody's got to get to the bargaining table.
Well,
and I think what will probably happen, he's saying, what he's telling the Democrats now is, we're only going to talk about cuts first. And he's got his own agenda that he's been promoting on, you know, a lot of his right to work,
right,
and some of his business reforms and things. And he wants leverage to get those things passed or make some progress on them. So for all the gloom and doom that we hear, I do think that they are working behind the scenes. I think something will happen. But what, you know, what is worrisome, and I think to parents like you and thousands of millions of others out there, mm-hmm. We don't know now how severe the cuts are going to be and what's going to have to go and what's going to have to stay. The frustrating thing for me, like I said, though, is that whenever there's a situation like this, it always seems like it is the people who deal with the most vulnerable, you know, the developmentally disabled,
right.
That have to weather the cuts first.
And do you think it's because they know that moms like us will testify and weep and beg for mercy, or is it because we are less likely to be able to rally the troops? I'm sort of in the middle of that. I don't know what the logic is behind it.
I think my belief is that it's because those groups tend to not have the lobbying muscle. They don't have the political muscle. If you go back a few years ago, in 2012, the big issues were pension reform, as it still is, and Medicaid reform. And in this time 3 years ago, Governor Quinn was saying, we are going to get Medicaid done and we're going to get pension reform done this year. Well, they got Medicaid done, mm-hmm. and they cut a couple billion dollars out of Medicaid, and they took health care away from a whole lot of people to get a whole lot of Medicaid savings. I've always thought, you know, it's interesting that they did Medicaid first and then it took so long to even wade into pensions. Why would that be? Probably because the pension reform, you met with a pretty heavy lobbying arm at mm-hmm. that time.
Right.
You know, you had the unions and you had all these employees who were going to march on Springfield and really exert pressure and threaten to withhold endorsements. But the people who are going to be most affected by getting their health care cut through the Medicaid cuts, they really, you know, they do have some not-for-profits who work advocacy for them, but, you know, they're not the big, they're not political donors.
Right.
So it's always seemed to me like that's why Medicaid, you know, here Medicaid gets done first and then pension reform languishes for a couple more years before we finally got the political will to get it done, which by the way, has all been thrown out now, so they might as well not
right.
done anything.
The Supreme Court decision has obviously had an immediate impact on Chicago, as our junk bond mm-hmm. rating has been issued by Moody's. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was Moody's today. and that should be no surprise. And I would expect that the state of Illinois, depending on how the budget goes, but I would suspect the state of Illinois is going to get something like that too. Because the bond houses were very, they were very optimistic when pension reform was first passed back in 2013, but they were kind of holding off on making any kind of move until they saw what happened with the lawsuit. So I'm curious what happens now. I think I would suspect they'll wait to see how budget negotiations go, but I, you know, given what the Supreme Court said, you know, we've got to pay. It's going to be next year, I believe, just to keep things even in the maintenance budget, we've got to put $6.8 billion into pensions.
Wow.
So you're looking at, a quarter of our state budget going to pensions mm-hmm. while we're trying desperately to fund public schools and health care and all this other stuff. And that's the thing that, at the top of our conversation, when I was talking about when Reboot Illinois got going, it's very hard to explain why pension reform should mean anything to people. But I think now they're getting the message. Wow, for every dollar you pay in taxes, 20 cents is going to go mm-hmm. into fund somebody's pension. It's a big problem. And I honestly don't know what they can do about it at this point. I'm trying to talk to some people now to put together a post. I'm talking to some experts in it to figure out, you know, if Illinois has to pay to make up this $111 billion over the next 30 years, or, you know, how do they do it without
right.
devastating state government in the process? And there are a couple of ways out there that have been promoted. I know the Center for Tax and Budget Accountability has been saying for years, if we would just take the pension debt that we have now and not try to get everything funded by 2045, add an extra 12 years to it, spread it out, we'll pay $7 billion a year, It's not great, but it's manageable, and we can go on from there. That's one plan that you're probably going to hear about. You hear a lot of complaints about that, too, but that might be something that gets it done. It's just very hard to tell.
Well, Matt Dietrich, I have enjoyed talking to you, and I think we're going to have to be checking in with you regularly since you and I, you know, you have so much information, so much insight into this, and I'm just getting started. I suspect that we're going to be running into each other in Springfield. I'll be heading back tomorrow. Or later on today, whichever way you look at this.
I will look for you next time in one of those hearings.
Yes, absolutely. And do you mind if we check in with you again next week and see where we are after a week of hearings?
Sure.
And I know that the right to work vote is coming up. Madigan's going to have that on the 14th.
And that'd be interesting.
Exactly. So there's a lot to hear about. So it's everyone can follow you at Reboot Illinois. The website is rebootillinois.com. Is that correct?
That's right.
And what is the where should they click again to find their representative and their senators, to find the legislators, the leaders of the House?
Go to rebootillinois.com, and then there's at the top of the website, you'll see a thing for Sound Off.
Mm-hmm.
Click on Sound Off.
And that's
and it'll take you there, and you can put in your address, and you can either write your own blank message, or we've got a whole bunch of issues there. You can change the wording on any of those, too.
And I strongly encourage everyone to start reading some of the pieces there. You guys do a great job of sharing different points of view, this side and that. It's not partisan. It's bipartisan. And everyone can, I think, walk away with more information than when they started. So thank you so much for creating this website, Matt.
Well, thank you, Patty.
And we will talk to you again soon. I'll see you down there.
All right.
I'm laughing out of, oh my gosh, what's going to happen next sort of nervousness. Again, Matt Dietrich, the executive editor for Reboot Illinois, and we'll be catching up with him often in the next few weeks. Have a great night.
Okay, thanks, Patty.
Thanks. You're listening pretty late. More after this on 720 WGN.
Elevator down, please. Oh. That was. I'm a little too exhausted. It's such a long day. We started.
No, you don't look winded. You've been working out at the
Doghouse CrossFit.
You don't even look winded anymore.
We started out most of our day for a couple hours at the Baton Club, right at the Baton Showroom on Clark, near right over here, 436.
Right over there.
We're pointing a place that no one else can see.
No one else can see
unless you're watching on WGNRadio.com.
Nice.
Laura, I was taught how to walk and move in heels. And helped
nice.
little stage makeup, and I believe that Wendy Snyder had a little bit of tutelage as well.
They asked me if they wanted me to dress up when you guys were in the back,
and
I declined.
Why?
I don't know. It wasn't my day for that, but maybe
that's
I'll go
true.
Back.
That's true. I could see not being. You have to be. I knew I went there knowing that I would be subjected
right.
to. You know,
I didn't have any of my stuff ready. My hair was all a mess.
Right,
it wasn't good.
I had my full body Spanx with me.
Yeah, nice. Wendy Snyder, too. She really went all out with the hair extensions and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
The makeup and everything. Yeah,
yeah,
it was a very good time. And then I did go to Doghouse CrossFit where Courtney put me through the paces. I had to do negative chin-ups where you start in the chin-up position and then lower yourself down.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And that was not fun, and I severely disliked it. And then I thought we were done. We did a lot of different power lifting moves, and I was exhausted. And she goes, okay, let's go for a run. And
oh, man.
I did not want to do that.
So wait, did you get all dressed up and then go do that?
I did.
In her heels.
Oh. Not in my heels.
It was Agent Carter style for sure.
Oh,
can you talk about the obstacle course we saw online that you did? You were like flipping tires and
yeah,
what happened?
You flip one of those huge, semi, I don't know what how big was
semi,
it?
Semi, yeah.
Not semi, no, it's bigger
it's
than
monster truck tire.
Monster truck tire, yes. So you sprint, then you flip a monster truck tire for a certain amount of distance. Then you run back and you have to carry a weight when one side like a luggage, but it's I don't know how much weight was on that bar. It seemed heavy, and
it's
then
probably heavy.
And then you go back the other way, and then there was running, and I had you had to swing and rings like from one ring to the next ring.
Yeah, like gladiators.
Yes,
and like then, American gladiators. Are you training for the show?
No. And then I had to run and jump like belly flop onto a plywood board with wheels on it, and then sort of scoot myself to the front of the wall, then go under a bench, over a
right.
wall, under a bench, swung on a rope across some things.
And where can we see this video?
It's
on Facebook.
On Facebook.
Yeah.
We need to get Patty on Whiplash or whatever that show is. Wipeout?
Mm.
Wipeout is the name of the show.
Yeah. Where it's like you're a video game, but you're a real person.
Right.
You have to do all these superhuman things.
I bet you Courtney could destroy the Wipeout.
And Cruz, by the way, she's a powerful woman who, she's petite.
She's small.
She's but tough.
Mighty Mouse.
I will put her video online as well, where I showed her flipping the tire, so you can see her doing
right.
that.
Have you guys seen the video of the naked guy that jumps up and does it?
The naked guy that does what
that
now?
Does the obstacle course on that show.
On Wipeout?
Yeah. He jumps up there and he does the whole obstacle course butt naked.
I don't know.
And he makes it all the way through to the end.
Was he an actual contestant or he just did it during like a commercial break?
I think it was like, you know, a streaking
after
incident.
Hours,
and there's kids in the audience. They show the kids looking at it and pointing and covering their mouths.
I will say, though, from watching that show, sometimes you see the shirt get caught or something and pull someone down. So yeah. It might be better to do that naked.
Naked?
Yeah.
Are you sure wouldn't?
It might work out
clothes
better.
Get in some ways. I think he might have had shoes on. Shoes and socks, maybe.
As long as he has shoes on, he should be perfectly fine. But wouldn't you bump into things? Like, wouldn't you want some sort of a, you know, barrier?
Yeah.
No.
All I'm saying is that then you definitely need a black light.
There were some very interesting things he had to do that were...
For all the spit that you're going to get everywhere. Yeah. You got 40 seconds, by the way.
Until we have to throw to the news? Oh, yeah. It's very exciting. Well, coming up, we are on our way back to Springfield. Pretty Late Goes Downstate. I know that Nick DiGilio has a craft beer week, folks, in. That's coming up after 2 a.m. Nick DiGilio, Steve Cochran, and I will all be at the Gale Street Inn May 19th. And it's all for Special Olympics. So your price of the ticket is also includes food and drink.